If you have been listening for a while, you know my wheelhouse is early elementary math, but recently I've been working a lot with third grade math, specifically in early multiplication, so arrays, equal groups, and I thought that I would share some of the stuff that I have been working on, and maybe it'll be helpful to you too. Specifically, when it comes to working with students who may have a hard time grasping or understanding ideas of multiplication, and with language learners. Hello, and welcome to Making Number Sense Make Sense, a podcast for elementary teachers, specifically early elementary teachers, looking to really make an impact in the number sense of their students. Something that I feel that can be really challenging when working with arrays is just the vocabulary of a row and a column. It's kind of a hard concept to understand, and especially since row is a homonym, like you can have a row of seats, but you can also row your boat. And if you are a language learner and you're just starting to learn English, what would be the way that you would think of that word most commonly? A row of items or like row your boat, especially if it's a song that they're hearing a lot, younger kids, it can be kind of tricky. Same thing for a column. It's just like, what does this word mean that's equal representations? So I think that's something that you can really kind of focus on, like which ways the rows go and which ways the columns go. That, and also that you can have two arrays that have the same product, that have the same expression or equation, can also be kind of tricky. I feel like the way, or a way, to really support students in understanding that is hands-on. And something that I notice as kids get older is they start to do kind of math centers less. And sometimes I wonder about that because when working with younger kids, center time is their absolute favorite time. Now, there has been back and forth of centers, like if students are not doing it correctly, then what are they really learning? But I think especially if you're working with like second grade, third grade, the opportunity to work with different mathematical concepts in that way and just kind of have the opportunity to play with the math can be really helpful in making the concepts feel more tangible and more like things that are accessible to them versus so abstract. So I came up with some center ideas that are kind of similar to what I've created or used in the past with younger kids and just kind of switched the subject and have the similar concept. So we're not reinventing the wheel, we're just making it work for the grades that we're at. So the first one is roll an array treasure hunt. So using dice, which I love, using a hundreds chart mat, which I also love. It doesn't have the actual numbers on it, but basically students would roll two die, and then that would be the numbers that they're multiplying together. They would have to draw an array on their work mat that would be the product of the two numbers that they rolled. And now the way you kind of take it up here is there's three different versions of this game. In the first one, there are coins all over the mat. So what their goal is to make sure that their arrays can cover as many coins as possible. And then at the end, the person who has the most coins in their arrays is the winner. The second version is roll an array but collect a treasure. And so this one has coins, but it also has gems, it has treasure chests, and they have different values. So your kids are going to be really creative and thinking about, okay, how can I put my array? Do I need to make it the long way? Do I need to make it horizontal? Do I need to make it vertical that it can cover the most space so I can get the points for the treasure or I can get the points for the gem? And again, this kind of is helpful for the concept of an array can be vertical or horizontal and still represent the same thing because they're really trying to figure out how to make that work for them. And the last one is roll an array and avoid the traps. So in this one, they're trying to avoid different spots on the mat instead of trying to cover them. So again, they're going to have to be creative with how they fit their arrays to not lose all of their gems or all of their points if they hit one of the traps. So that was roll an array treasure hunt three ways. The next is spin, multiply, and find the expression. In this game, they have a spinner that has an array for each kind of set of number facts. So it's like 2x2, 2x3, 2x4, 2x5. And so the students would spin, and then on either side, the expressions are written both ways. So it might say 2x3 and also 3x2. So then your students would color in, and your kids would mark off if they got that array and see if they can get it again. So that, again, forces them to think about the arrays being vertical or horizontal,
or two expressions can represent the same array.
The next one is array pick build and cover. So students pick up an expression card and represent it on the work mat. So for this one, they have a large space to work with. So you will need a lot of manipulatives for this to make it work. So they'd pick an expression, say they had 5 times 6, and then they would actually build an array that shows 5 rows and 6 columns, 5 times 6, and then cover the product on the work mat until they can cover all of them. So it helps students work on their math facts, helps them kind of build arrays and really get that hands-on experience with building them for a purpose. The next game is more about multiplication facts than arrays, but it still kind of works in the same wheelhouse, in the same family. Empty the board multiplication or multiplication facts, they would have either 1 die or 2 dice. And if they had 2 dice, they would add those together, and that's the number that they're going to multiply by the target number. So for example, if they rolled a 2 and a 6, that would be 8. If the board they're working on is the 9 facts multiplication board, then they would multiply 8 by 9 and then remove 1 cube from where the product is. So the setup of this game is they have their mat with their target number on it. So they're working on 9 facts or they're working on 5 facts, and they would put a cube in each space that's available. And on the bottom, it has the product of these multiplication facts. So they roll the die to get the number that they're multiplying the target number by, and then they would take off a cube if they rolled that number that makes that product, and they would continue until their board is empty. So again, they're getting a lot of practice with multiplication, especially in a kind of target number, but in a different way than just doing drills or flashcards. And if doing all 12 numbers is a bit intimidating, you can also just start with 1 die and multiply your target number by 1 through 6 before moving to 1 through 12. And next is an array thinking task. Now, if you have tried the escaping ants task, that's more of an equal groups task than an array task, but I have seen students without prompting, even kindergarten students, without me showing them how to create an array, created an array on their own to represent what they were doing. So that's a great way to kind of bridge equal groups, repeated addition, and multiplication together. Or if you're looking for something a little more challenging, you can work on this bake sale array task. So basically, in this task, the students are baking cookies for a bake sale, and they have to figure out how many trays they'll need to have enough for the bake sale. So that task has an unknown factor included into it to make it a little more challenging, but still has, you know, thin slicing questions, as well as check your understanding questions, as well as the opportunity to create their meaningful notes. So there's lots of versions of notes that they can use. One that has that's broken up into quadrants. So in their first quadrant, it'd be kind of a fill in the blank. Their second quadrant can be kind of a worked example that they write, or there's versions that have a worked example already there. And then the other two is where they can choose to write down things that they think will be important for them to remember. And in the last one, they can kind of look around to see what other students were doing and see if there's a different strategy that they really like that another student used. Using notes in the older grades, so third grade, fourth grade, even second grade really, can be helpful for them to solidify their learning and understanding. I wouldn't necessarily do notes for kinder at the beginning of the year, but probably midway through, they can start to kind of create their own notes or their own rememberings. So I hope that gave you some ideas about working with arrays and early multiplication with your students. Let me know if you give any of them a try, and I will talk to you next time.